It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
I don't know if that was so much it. The mistakes were just too big. In critical times and critical areas. So, didn't do enough to win.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a Monday, and the San Jose Sharks fell to the Chicago Blackhawks yesterday by a final of 5-2. I was joking on Twitter that I was watching the innocence disappear from my youngest child's eyes in real time as I explained to young Desmond why the Sharks losing to the Blackhawks was actually not the worst thing in the world, at least not necessarily. Yes, in any normal sense, losing is never a good thing when we're talking about professional sports and a team of what the Sharks are at this point. However, if you are going to lose at this point, losing to the team that is closest to you in the race for the most balls in the hopper when it comes to NHL lottery time, that's a different discussion, or draft lottery more specifically. But I think that when you watched the game yesterday, you saw a Sharks team that had a lot of go in the first period, and I think that they probably knew that they were going to be a little bit tired. I mean, this was the fourth game of a five-game road trip, and it came on the second end of a back-to-back. It's a lot to handle. Just like I think that, anytime you're on a back-to-back on a road trip, it's going to be tough. It's especially so when it's deep into a road trip that's not in your time zone. And I think that we saw a lot of the fatigue catch up with the Sharks last night. They started off very well. You get Carpi with a goal. You get Klim Kostin with another goal. You're up 2-0. You're feeling good. And I thought to myself, well, it's nice to have the Sharks with some pushback in this one. And, then that first period came and went, and you could just see the energy slowly drain out of them over the remainder of the game. And I'm not holding that against them. I'm not saying this is some, awful, performance from the Sharks. It was just like, it was very apparent to me that they did not have the energy, that they did not have the drive. And you heard David Quinn talking about, not doing enough to win. And, I don't know what they could have done to win it realistically, because it did look like they did not have enough energy. It looked like a tired team on the road. I think that you just kind of have to take it for what it is. And if you're going to lose to anybody right now, it might as well be the Blackhawks, who now find themselves 4 points in front of where the Sharks are in the standings after yesterday's win. If we go to the Central Division, the Chicago Blackhawks 19-44 and 5, 43 points, and the San Jose Sharks 16-44 and 7 with 39 points. Obviously, there's no guarantee about what's going to happen going into the future here, but it is not necessarily the worst thing, because it could be beneficial for the Sharks if they end up with the number one overall, or you're getting a greater chance of getting the number two or the number three. So, I'm trying to skew positive on this one, and I think you should as well. I can't obviously tell you how to feel, but, in a lost season at this point, what is the focus? The focus is the future. What helps the future? Getting the number one overall pick. So, in that sense, yeah, not the worst loss in the world, not the best loss in the world at the same time, but more than anything, not the worst loss. And I think that, you are learning things with this San Jose Sharks team right now. I mean, you see, guys still contributing. Ryan Carpenter, he's in a position where he's fighting for a job to stay up at the NHL level next year. And I think that he's, really proven himself as a capable and quality player. I think it was very nice to watch him contribute. And, he's just been a good, solid veteran player all year long. And I think he was a great franchise pickup. Everybody really liked him from when he was here last time, because he is just an absolutely phenomenal dude. He is just a true gentleman, a class act, for lack of a better term. And, you know, earlier in the year when he was on the Barracuda, he golfed with me and my dad at the Barracuda golf tournament. And just, nicest dude in the world. And his family's out of games and such. So, you know, I think it's always good to see the nice guys getting rewarded. I know that's not necessarily the be-all, end-all in sports to be a nice guy, because I can name you a long list of guys that were not nice that were some of the best of all time. But, you know, if you are going to be a fourth-line player, if you are going to be a guy who's fighting for that spot, probably doesn't hurt the people like you. And everyone around here seems to like Ryan Carpenter, and he continues to put up good performances. And just his, you know, his sense, like, yeah, he's not the most physically gifted guy in the world, but he has a very good read on what's happening on the ice around him, and he makes positive plays. He gets himself in the right position. He follows through. He knows how to read what's happening around him. I think that goal was a great example, and, you know, that's just the type of player that they asked him to be. They said, be a sound, competent, capable player. You don't need to win the game for us. You just need to go out there and make good plays and be filled with effort and go out there and, you know, use your body. And yeah, you see that every single time out from him. So that to me is fun to see. There's no doubt about it. And then you go from the next story there to Clem Costin, who has pretty much produced as much with the Sharks in a handful of games as he did previously this season. I love the idea of guys having to prove themselves, like we saw with Ryan Carpenter that I was just mentioning. Clem Costin, obviously, a younger guy, and I think that, I'll take that any day of the week. You want to see these guys have an opportunity to kind of refine their games. If we look back at his stats with Edmonton, a year ago he played in 57 games. He had 11 goals and 10 assists for 21 points. I think that that's, perfectly respectable. That team obviously was scoring like it was their, like they were breathing, but, you know, he 21 points, that's not terrible. I'll take it. This year with the Red Wings, obviously a different situation. Through 33 games, he'd only had 3 goals and 1 assist for a total of 4 points. And so you compare that with what we're seeing with San Jose right now, where he's looking like, and I don't mean this to sound negative about the Red Wings or anything, but it looks like here, so far, he's being put in a better position to succeed. He's being utilized more effectively, or maybe he's realized that after being traded, he needs to up his effort a little bit more. But, you know, previously with Detroit, he had 3 goals and 1 assist. And now with the Sharks, he's got 2 goals and 2 assists in 5 games. So, you know, maybe he's finding something here. Maybe the Sharks are looking at, you know, how to best utilize him a little bit differently than what was previously happening in Detroit. But I'm not going to argue with it. If he's getting points, if he's getting results, I will take it. So that's a fun one to see. You go beyond that, and then you start looking at Devin Cooley yesterday. Great story. I thought it was really cool. Curtis Peschelka, before the game, tweeted out a picture of Devin Cooley at an outdoor rink in Palo Alto, something like 20 plus years ago. And, you know, you see him, and there's pictures of him with, Sharky. And I got to talk to him the other day, and, you know, his family had season tickets, and he used to go to all the games. And, you know, watching him now be in this position, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, you don't get a lot of stories like this. And to be clear, I do not at all think he was the issue why the Sharks started giving up goals. I'm sure there might be one or two that he wants back, like any goalie, but the Sharks did not play great in front of him. And I think the juice ran out, and I don't put any of this on him. I thought he looked pretty good throughout the entirety of the performance, and he should hold his head high, I should say, to make his NHL debut for the team that he grew up rooting for and coming from Los Gatos. That's a cool story any way you look at it. You know, Devin Cooley, props to him, and I'm proud of him. I'm glad he had this opportunity, and I'm glad that he's with San Jose. I think there's going to be, you know, opportunity for him in the future. But, you know, you start looking back at this game, and the Sharks, obviously, with the 2 goals in the first period, they take control. And then, you know, the second period, you know, the Blackhawks start coming. You know, they get a 1 goal to have the deficit. And then in the third period, it was what we've seen far too often this year, the goals in bunches, right? You know, 10:39, former Shark Ryan Donato, 2-2, 11:51, then it's 3-2, 12:02, just 11 seconds later, then it's 4-2. And the game had completely been flipped on its head at that point. And you're talking about a time period of 10:39 to 12:02. That's a minute and 23 seconds where the game went from tied at 2 to trailing 4-2. You had an empty netter from Connor Bedard. You know, that's 5-2, and that's the game. I think you can make some umbrage about the fact that the Sharks should have gone on the power play when Kalen Addison got pulled into the box later in the game. That was a pretty BS call when he got into it with Tyler Johnson, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that's not the Sharks' worst concern out of this game. I think it was pretty clear to watch that the wheels fell off and they ran out of gas, and Chicago was going to win that game. There's no, I'm not trying to create excuses. I'm not trying to, you know, say something different was going to happen. I would have liked a better call, but momentum was swinging in favor of Chicago at that point. And I think you could tell that the Sharks were running out of gas. And listen, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it would have changed things, but I think that, I mean, I understand why David Quinn was upset, but that to me was not the be all end all in this game. But if you're annoyed by it, I'm not going to take that away from you. And now the Sharks are in a position where they have one game left on this road trip. They're going to be in Nashville on Tuesday night, and then they come home, and then they'll be taking on Tampa Bay on Thursday night at the Tank, and then Chicago on Saturday, and then Dallas on Tuesday before they go out on the road for two for Minnesota and St. Louis to end the month of March. And yeah, the next game coming up is going to be the 68th game of the year, and I hate that we are approaching the end. Then we get a five-game road stand to start the month of April. We have Seattle on the 1st, L.A. on the 4th, St. Louis on the 6th, and then on the 7th, it is going to be Arizona, and then on Tuesday, it's going to be Calgary, then out on the road to Seattle, and then you are going to be playing host to Minnesota, your last home game of the year coming on Saturday the 13th. Then you are going to be at Edmonton and at Calgary to end the year. And by the way, if I'm not sure, didn't we end at Edmonton and Calgary a year ago? I want to say that was how it ended last year. Well, let me do a quick check of the schedule to see. We ended, the 12th was Calgary, and then the 13th was Edmonton. Yeah, we finished at 3 on the road, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton. So relatively similar in that era compared to this year. But yeah, man, I can't believe we are already in this final stretch of games for the season. I can't believe that the Sharks, you know, obviously we're going to have another year where they're not in the playoffs. And this is obviously the longest this franchise has ever been without the playoffs. We've been spoiled. We've had incredible success here, and we're going through the rebuild right now. And you're watching it before your very eyes. You see games where they're up, you know, 2-0 and they end up losing, right? Or, you know, you lose 7-6 after being up 6-3 on Dallas. You follow that up with a 7-2 loss against the Islanders. I mean, it's been a season, guys. I will tell you that much. But I enjoy getting ready for a Sharks game. I enjoy getting ready to sit down and watch the games and see the big moments, and, you know, continuing to watch Fabian Zetterlund do his thing, continuing to watch, you know, a Mikael Granlund be a contributor, and see Ryan Carpenter, and see Klim Kostin, and see Devin Cooley, and, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood looks like he's close to getting back, so I'm excited about that. And, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood's future, I'm very excited about it. Same as what I've seen with Magnus Crona. You know, I like what he's brought to the table. You know, obviously Devin Cooley, we only seen one game at the NHL level, but I hope that, you know, we get to see a bit more of him. You're developing talent. You're maximizing this time for the future. And that, to me, is what this is all about. Maximization of now till the end of the year to give yourself the best possible situation going forward. And then, you know, we see what happens in the future. The Sharks this summer, I would imagine that for the most part, they're going to be taking on some bad contracts to try and acquire more capital for the future, get some prospects, get some picks. But the thing is, when you take on quote unquote bad contracts, because that was how some people viewed Mikael Granlund's contract. Mikael Granlund, I think, has done a pretty good job to restart himself and prove how good he can be still in the NHL. And it's not like he's on, murderer's row here with the San Jose Sharks. Now, this is a guy who's had some really good seasons over the course of his career that, you know, people kind of thought was, you know, done. And he continues to prove that he is still a very, very good player in the NHL. I mean, you go back and you look at some of his best seasons: 2016, 69 points. 2017, 67 points. 2021, 64 points. Last year, he only had 36 points. This year, in 54 games, which is fewer games than he played in Nashville back in 2022, he's had 44 points. And I think a 44-point season on this Sharks team through 54 games, that's nothing to sneeze at. You know, that's, what, roughly 0.8 points per game? I mean, I'll take that any day of the week. And you're looking at a 60-point season over the course of an 82-game schedule if that's what, you know, Mikael Granlund can provide in the future. Obviously, he's had some injuries along the way for San Jose, but know, it's not like this team has been scoring an incredible amount. So for him to rack up those points, I think that's pretty darn impressive. And I appreciate what he's been able to bring to the table. And actually, I did the quick math on what that would be in an 82-game season. That's 66.8 points. So a 67-point season on a team like this that the Sharks is having, where they do not exactly have an incredible amount of scoring prowess around them. Yeah, that's a guy who's proving himself in the NHL. And, you know, there also might be the chance that a team wants to trade for him, and which is another area that Mike Greer can attract capital and bring things in for the future. I don't know. I'm just speculating that other teams would look at a playmaker like him and think they can utilize him. But my point is, you are looking at a guy who's rejuvenated his career in a situation that is probably the opposite of what people could be considering the place where you rejuvenate a career. Usually guys get on with talent to rejuvenate their career. They don't go to a team in a rebuild and prove how good they still are in the NHL or in any sport. To me, that is very, very telling about what's going on here with San Jose and the fact that these guys are fighting, the fact they keep on putting forth phenomenal efforts. I'll take it every day of the week. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game sounds. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
First game, that's something I've been working towards my entire life, so I'm really happy that happened, and for it to happen for my hometown team that I grew up watching was pretty special. There's three chances off the back. You just try to go to the game and go into the game like as prepared as you possibly can be, because you know those could be your first shots, and there's no excuse if those go in because you're like, oh, I wasn't ready, or oh, it was first shot of the game. It's like you gotta be prepared to go. So I thought I did a pretty good job of preparing, and yeah.
Devin Cooley bringing us back in on a Monday morning on Morning Tide. Obviously still a little bit fired up after that performance. He was not perfect, but I did not think he was in any way, shape, or form the specific problem for San Jose. I thought one of the cool things that they showed before the game was that he was warming up with VR. I've seen a couple guys do that, but you know what? Whatever it takes to get ready for the game, if you have the technology on hand, go for it. I am all for it. I also thought it was cool. They showed shots of all his friends and family who were there. And, if you had a chance to listen to the buildup over the last few games, I did post an interview with him that we also heard a little bit on Morning Tide. And, just the nicest guy in the world and such a cool story to come from the Bay Area. And obviously very intelligent, really good talker. You know, the way he's explaining his process and going through everything, I thought it was really interesting to hear. And you just can't help but be excited for someone, like he said, to do it for his hometown team. I mean, that's... I talk to athletes about this all the time, and I say, you know, not only is it the dream when you're a little kid, you know, to end up playing in the sport that you love as a professional, whether it's hockey, whether it's basketball, whether it's soccer, whether it's track and field, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whether it's golf, tennis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You even have the next level dream of doing it for the team you root for growing up, and he's doing that. Like, I can only imagine the amount of emotions that went through his head as he got out there and really just thought about what he was about to embark upon. And that's, no matter where his career goes, the fact that he did get to play as a goalie for the San Jose Sharks, it's going to be pretty hard to beat for one game. Cooley was also asked about, what was going through his head and if he had a, I'm in the NHL type moment.
Yeah, honestly, the before the game was probably the most nerve-wracking for me. It was like trying to like calm myself down, try to get the nerves under control. I tried like every single mind technique that I've used over the years to get myself to relax. And that was the hardest part. And then as soon as I stepped on the ice, it was like, okay, like go time. Like I felt really good, felt comfortable. Didn't even think about, being in the NHL or the crowd or anything, just focused on the puck and doing my job.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I never saw anything out of him throughout the entire game that made me think that he was not ready or was, not big enough for the moment. The guy played a good game. I did not consider him to be perfect by any means, but like I keep on saying, I didn't think he was the problem. And so the Sharks, I think, with Cooley, for however long he's going to be up with them for the remainder of the year, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he gets to have this opportunity. And there literally is nothing to lose for any of these guys. I think you just go out there and play your game, show what you're capable of. I think any coach would understand that the Sharks in that situation were running out of gas and did not play great D in front of him. Just like we've seen in a couple situations with Magnus Crona. I think that, there's a reason why Mackenzie Blackwood can stand on his head. He's had the ability at the NHL level to learn how to stand on his head. For Devin Cooley, for Magnus Crona, they're now just getting those chances to learn how to do that. Crona did it in that game against Dallas. He's had a couple of great performances, and I think that's just, that's what you can do right now. You don't have to worry about the wins. You can worry about making the incredible saves to show that, you can make the big stops, and imagine how much better you could be if the team around you was that much better. And then, again, circumstances must be taken into consideration. The Sharks are on the second night of a back-to-back in the fourth game of a five-game road trip, 2 and 3 hours for most of it ahead of their time zone. So all these things come into play. Cooley on his thoughts on his performance.
Man, that one, that stings. The game stings. We were so close. I wasn't happy with the first one. I thought I sometimes reach and extend when I could just shift. And then, I read it perfectly. I knew what was going to happen. If I should just shift my body over, hits me right in the chest. But instead, I reached and got a piece of it. And then, two tough bounces. That was disappointing. And then, another that was a screen. And I'm going to go over video soon and figure out how I can improve and make those four saves and do a better job of keeping my team in it.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool that he was so cognizant of his own areas of where he thinks he needs to be better, whether or not he's right or wrong. I'm the wrong person to ask, but I think that he probably was very aware of what he needs to do differently in those situations, of what his own tendencies are. Like he says, I have a tendency to reach when I should just shift. Somebody knowing that right off the bat, I appreciate, because there's a tendency to think that, yes, your instinct was the right thing to do, but oftentimes you have to learn to break those instincts and do something else, because your instinctual thing might be your instinctual reaction, but that doesn't mean that that's the right move in the right moment. And, he said he was going to go over the film. He said he was going to review things. And I appreciate that mentality from players, where they can see things, where they can look at what's going around them and try and figure out what they can do to be better overall as a player out there on the ice. It's not just the performance in and of itself. It's performing. It's going back and reviewing what you thought you saw out there on the ice, and then talking to your coaches and figuring out what you can do to rectify those mistakes you made and be better in the future. And you rectify those mistakes by working on new patterns and habits in practice. And you do that, you hopefully do it enough because it breaks some of the instincts, breaks bad habits, for lack of a better term. And then you can start to do the right thing out there on the ice. I think that is that's a huge, huge thing to be able to develop right now with San Jose. So all in all, a positive night for him, in my opinion, and for the organization, even if it did not end up being a great night for him statistically or a win for the San Jose Sharks. I think he gets his debut. He provides the Sharks with another option to develop at goalie. You can say, well, he is not, the most highly touted guy at this point of his career. I don't really care. That's the past. See what happens here and now in San Jose. See what he can bring, and we will go from there. Clem Costin was asked after last night's game what he thought went wrong.
I don't know. I think we just lose a little focus in the third period and then start chasing the offense. I think this is going to kill us.
And it's understandable, because at that point, it's gone from a 2-1 to a 2-2 game in the third period. And then, suddenly it just gets away from you. And you're trying to create something. You're running out of gas. You're running on fumes overall. Decision-making on the quick turnaround when you get depleted probably is not at its peak level. And, that's how games get away. And then you're also playing a Blackhawks team that had rest and was playing at home and, not in its comparable situation at all compared to what San Jose was going through. Not that I'm making excuses. I'm just saying you have to look at the full, picture to try and evaluate what you saw from San Jose last night. And I think that, bad decision-making, chasing offense, you do that when you're down and you're fatigued, it's probably going to end poorly. And it's hard to get away from that, though, because you are in that situation where you're running out of gas. He was also asked about the end of the second period, if that's when they started chasing the offense. And he said that he actually thought they liked that. It was the third that it all got away.
I don't know. I think we finished our second period pretty strong. And then, bad start at the third period, lost a little focus, and then, like I said again, we're like pretty young team, and you know, kind of like don't have much experience. I think it's also like count, you know.
I do think it's interesting that he's already taking note that it's a young team, and obviously he's only 24 years old and he's only been here for a handful of games, but you know, considering his experience in the NHL, where he's been previously with Edmonton last year and Detroit earlier this season, I think he's probably got a pretty good level of awareness of where things are right now. And I think that that's important for everybody to not beat themselves up. I think you have to be aware of what your situation is, and you have to be aware of what you've done up to this point of the year as a team, to what you've seen from the outside, to what you see now on the inside. Not that I'm saying that they should say, oh, we're young, we can make mistakes, but you have an understanding of why some decision-making is occurring, why things are happening the way they are. That's important, again, in taking review and taking stock of everything that happened during a game and figuring out what you can do to rectify it in the future. Kostin was asked about his goal.
I got a pass from Granlund and shoot the puck. Very simple.
Simple, just like the answer there. I like it. And he was also asked what's been working here, specifically with Mikhail Granlund.
I mean, he's a lead player. He's one of the best in the NHL. And then he's been like long time in the NHL holding his level, you know. He's a lead player. And then it's always a core to play with him. It's a, I don't know, he's an amazing player. And, you know, it's really good.
Everybody likes Granny. You know, that doesn't happen by accident. The guy creates scoring opportunities for everybody around him. He has consistently been just a dynamite player for the Sharks all year long, and I hope that his future with the team is more than just the next, you know, handful of games as we head towards the end of the season. I hope that he is here for a while. I like what he's doing. I think his overall presence, I think his mentality, I just enjoy what he brings to the ice. Let's hear from David Quinn just talking about, you know, everything getting away from him in the third period.
A good period, that we managed a period, didn't give him anything, and, you know, playing a winning brand of hockey. And then when they got the one to tie it up, we just couldn't overcome our mistakes. Our mistakes were just too big.
Turnovers and overall fatigue clearly changed the game for San Jose. Unfortunately, that's something they will probably try and rectify going into Tuesday night's game at Nashville. You want to end the road trip strong. You want to try and get a point out of this. You want to try and get a win and break this latest slide since they had the win against Ottawa two Saturdays ago. But yeah, having a good performance against Nashville, a cleaner performance in which they're not turning the puck over, is going to be an emphasis, I can guarantee, and we'll see if they're able to do so. Quinn weighed in on Devin Cooley's performance as the netminder.
I thought he played well. Made some big saves early, I thought, and I thought he played well. I feel bad that weren't able to bring it to the finish line for him because I thought he deserved it.
What you get and what you deserve in sports rarely line up, and that's how it was for Devin Cooley in the game last night. I think he should brush it off and look forward to his next opportunity. And Quinn was asked about Kostin's assessment that the team was chasing offense too much.
I don't know if that was so much it. The mistakes were just too big in critical times and critical areas. So, you know, just didn't do enough to win.
Turnovers, mistakes, and fatigue. That is not a good recipe for a good result on the road. And that's what the San Jose Sharks learned yesterday in Chicago. And now they get a day of rest before they will be in Nashville taking on the Preds Tuesday at 5. And you can catch that game right here on the Sharks Audio Network. We, of course, will have 4:30 pregame coverage as we get you ready for the Sharks' final game of this 5-game road trip before they return home for what will be a nice 3-game homestand against Tampa, Chicago, and Dallas before they head back out on the road for 2 against Minnesota and St. Louis to finish off the month of March. Of course, stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for all San Jose Sharks coverage. I'm sure we'll have some more interviews for you coming up with players as they continue on this road trip, and we will continue to bring you more of the stories and more of the new faces that are suddenly populating the San Jose Sharks. Yes, the team has been eliminated from the playoffs, but they're still fighting, still battling, and still working for the future. All right, I will see you on the build-up on Tuesday afternoon as we get ready for Nashville. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.